On there? There we go. Okay. It's good to be with you tonight and get into God's Word. I love it. I'm just going to ask that we would pray once again. Lord, we love you. We love to sing about you. We love to sing to you. There is no one like you in this world. And we have come here to seek your face, to seek after you. That's why we're here, Lord. And you tell us that as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So we thank you for that promise that you will draw near to us tonight and that you will speak to us, Lord. And we ask that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Would you just fill us afresh right now so that we can receive everything that you have for us tonight, Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are soft. And we just want to hear everything and experience everything that you have for us tonight, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we are looking at blessed encouragement. And the reason why that is the title is because encouragement is a blessing to the receiver and it is a blessing to the giver of that encouragement. And the Lord said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So to just be a part of lifting someone up with that encouragement is such a great blessing to our hearts. And there is a great need for encouragement. And the Bible speaks of encouragement and the need for it in our lives. And I'm sorry we don't have a specific passage for you to turn to right now that we normally do. But the Lord didn't direct me to one because his whole counsel speaks of this encouragement. And so I'll be just reciting scripture, and so you can either turn to that as we go along or just listen and get fed in that way. But the Lord knows how we need to be encouraged, and although there are 158 verses in the Bible that refer to discouragement, and that would be references to sadness and mourning and tears, there are more than 500 references to encouraged hearts, such as joy and gladness and rejoicing and delighting and also laughing. And Psalm 30:11, it says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." And the Lord wants us to be encouraged as his people. And he is the great encourager. He is so faithful to encourage us every single day. He's so amazing. And so tonight we're going to look at two aspects of encouragement. We're going to look at the encouragement the Lord brings to us. And then we'll look at how we can encourage others. And we're very familiar with that word, encourage. But although we're familiar with it, let's just break it down and see what does that mean. To encourage. To encourage means to give support. So that would be to uphold, to back up. It also means to encourage means to give confidence. And this would be like a sureness, that confidence that we need. To encourage would be also to give hope. It can be that courage that we need. And it can even be, encouragement can be to give advice, that's counsel. And I love these descriptions of encouragement because the Lord without a doubt uses all of those in our lives every day, those specific ways. And he knows exactly what kind of encouragement we need and he gives it to us so beautifully. And so the Lord encourages us by giving us support. And shall we say that not only support, but he carries us. And we need his help. And we need him to carry us. We need his support. And we always need help, but there are times when we're really aware that we need his support. And sometimes life just feels really, really big, a lot bigger than us. We have major decisions that have to be made. We're stretched with circumstances or stretching relationships in our lives. And we can feel like we're all alone and like we're carrying the whole world upon our shoulders. And the Lord comes in and speaks words like in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also speaks words from Isaiah chapter 40, "The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those he have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait, those who hope, those who trust on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And he comes in and he reminds us that we're not alone. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not," he says to us. "Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand," that support, that encouragement that we need. And he encourages us again, reminding us of his unfailing support. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And that's Jude 1:24. And the Lord then comes in, encourages us with the confidence we need. He always builds our confidence in him. Now, why doesn't he build up our confidence, that self-confidence? Well, we know because that's false confidence. We will miserably fail ourselves. But godly confidence will never fail because our God never fails. So he encourages us to have confidence in him. And he says to us, "Trust me." Does he say that to you? He says that to me a lot. But those two words are so packed with meaning. They're small words. There's only two. But those words to me mean, I see the situation that you're in. I'm fully aware of the needs that you have. I'm working in this situation. And I have it under control. And how encouraging those two words are, trust me. The Psalms tells us that blessed is the man who trusts in him. Happy is the woman who has confidence in the Lord, who is encouraged in the Lord. She will never be discouraged as she finds what she needs in him. And the Lord encourages us with confidence that he is with us again. We need that confidence. Just as he told the disciples in the storm, he says to us, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And he said in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one. I am the one that goes before you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And he encourages us that he sees and knows every detail in our lives. That is such an encouragement. Do you ever feel like, does anyone know what I do? Does anyone see what I'm going through? And he speaks to us, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I know it all. I see it all." And he gives us confidence in the work that he is doing in our lives. And just a couple of months ago, I hit just a difficulty in my life where I needed some strong character to handle it right. And both the Lord and I fully know what Morgan is capable of bringing. And it's very, very little. And so I thought about this and this situation and what was required in it was so much bigger than me. And so I told the Lord that you have there's two options here. We know the one is who I am and what I have in me, and we're not going to choose that option. And then we have the one that from all these years that you've taught me and all that you've brought me to today, this is what I have, but it's still not enough. And so me thinking that there's only two options, I still go out and I step out and obey with the character that I have that I know isn't enough. And he just surprised me so much in this situation because he revealed that in the pruning and the stretching and the nurturing of my relationship with him, he had produced fruit that I was not aware of, that was revealed in that time when I really needed it. And Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. And I understand, for without me, you can do nothing. But he tells us that if we abide in him, we bear much fruit. What an encouragement that is to our hearts. And then the Lord encourages us with hope. When we're overwhelmed, when sorrow seems to be all around us, when we feel like our days are a vicious cycle of fighting, we fight this world, we fight our flesh, we fight the enemy, and the Lord encourages us with words of hope. He says, John 14, 1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And as I was schooling my kids today, we were learning about the human body and just how incredibly fascinating. I mean, we learned like this much today, but it's just fascinating how each part in our body has a specific purpose and works together. And we learned about volcanoes, and then we were eating lunch and we were looking at the birds outside playing in our yard, and we were praying together, and I was just praising the Lord for his creation. I mean, just the marvel of our human body and just the miraculous creation that he has made with his own hands. And the Lord just filled my heart. And he encouraged me and reminded me that he did all of that in 6 days. But he is still preparing heaven for you and me, and how my heart was encouraged once again. He says, 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And Jesus encourages us to pray and keep hope. He says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus gives us hope that what we face right now will be worked together for good. You know, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Then the Lord encourages us with advice. And that's his good counsel, his word. Every time we go to the counsel of his word, our hearts are encouraged. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And when we have asked the Lord for specific counsel, and we're desperate to hear his voice, we need that direction. We don't know whether to go to the left or the right. We want to do the right thing. And he speaks to us by his Holy Spirit, and he gives us just the right counsel we need. Our hearts are encouraged. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. And we say together, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What a God we have that he encourages us like that each and every day, whispering those truths in our ear, being with us, giving us that confidence, that hope, that support, that counsel that we need. He is so unbelievable. And this encouragement that he brings to our lives, it doesn't just end with us, but he wants to extend that same encouragement to others. He wants us to be a channel of that encouragement. And the word exhort or exhortation is used 22 times in the New Testament. And the word exhort means to strongly encourage someone to do something. And so we are to encourage others in their walk with the Lord, growing in the Lord, obeying the Lord. And Paul encouraged Timothy many times using words like, I urge you, continue, Timothy, in the things of the Lord. He encouraged Timothy over and over to keep what was trusted to him, to remember what God had said, and to continue to persevere. And we're told in Hebrews 3:13 that we are to exhort one another daily. So this means we are to encourage one another every single day. Paul wrote by the Spirit in 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. This scripture protects us from saying that we don't know how to encourage, because the Lord tells us that we're simply to use the encouragement that he has given to us and to just channel it, pass it on to others. The scripture also protects us from using the excuse that other people are just natural encouragers and that I'm just not natural at it, because the Lord not only tells us that we are to encourage, but he gives us the very encouragement we need to possess and pass on. And this scripture also protects us from thinking that we don't know how to encourage someone who is going through trouble that we cannot relate to. I think it is so interesting that the Lord was intentional in saying that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And we will have many opportunities to encourage people in situations that we've never faced, trouble that we've never faced, and maybe never will face. But we still have that encouragement to give them, because the same truths and the same encouragement that God has given to us applies to them and to any trouble. So the Lord gives us a beautiful daily model of encouragement. He tells us to encourage others, and then he gives us the encouragement that we need to pass on. So he's basically covered everything. We just need to obey. So what do we encourage others in? We remind others about who God is, how great and wonderful he is. We encourage others in the promises of God. What does he say about himself? What does he say about their situation? What's the promise that they need to hear from God? We're to encourage others in the love of God, his heart toward them. We're to encourage others to obey God. Encourage others to allow God to use them, to be surrendered and usable and teachable. We're to encourage others to persevere and not give up. And we're to encourage others in the hope of heaven. So let's just take a bit to consider how we're doing individually as encouragers. So with what the Lord has modeled to us, what is the quality and what's the quantity of our encouragement? Let's take to our husbands. If you are married, how often do you encourage your husband? Multiple times a day, every day, every few days, every few weeks, hardly ever. Does he know of your support for him? Submission and respect are probably the greatest encouragement we can give to our husbands, because the Lord has commanded both of us and knows exactly what he needs. But do we push and try to manipulate to get our own way, or do we encourage him in his role, his God-given role as our husband? Does our husband try to do what's right? Does he try and do what's best for your family? Does he do something right, anything right? Then we are to encourage him in that. And we need to verbally acknowledge those things, whether it's one or whether it's many. We're to say, encourage with words, honey, you work so hard for us. That pleases the Lord so much. I am just so proud that you support our family in that way. Or I know what that man did to you, and I know how that made you feel, but you were patient and you extended grace. Wow, I am totally impressed by that, by your response. When our husband senses a gifting or calling of the Lord on his life, and he expresses interest in serving the Lord, do we encourage him in that? That is so important. Is our response, if you serve there, you would come home late on Sundays. You're gone a lot. I really like you here on Sundays. Why don't we just wait and see if there's a need for that? If someone brings it up or someone comes to you, then okay. Or do we say, honey, I see that gifting in your life. I know the Lord wants to use you in that way. You should serve him. What can we do to make that happen? And I wonder how many husbands would be excelling in their gifting and service to the Lord if they only had wives fully supporting them and encouraging them in such a godly desire to serve the Lord. So we ask ourselves, what is the quality and quantity of our encouragement toward our children? We need to make sure that not all of our communication is corrective. As important as correction is in training, much of training is encouragement. And just as we have to correct every bad action or attitude, we must encourage every good one, which means we talk all the time. When we see our little tyke share a ball with another child, we encourage them, that's just like Jesus. Thank you. When our child in elementary school age lets someone go ahead of her for something that she really wants to do, we say to her, "Wow, I saw how you put that little girl first before you. That makes the Lord so happy. You just shared the love of Jesus in such a beautiful way." When our child is older and someone betrays him and he allows that hurt to forever protect him from hurting another person, we're going to say, "The Lord sees what you are doing and you are honoring him. You are growing to be a godly man and he will bless you and reward you for that." Even if we have a wayward child and we so wish we could commend those right and those good things in their lives, but they're not making choices that we can commend, we can still encourage them in the Lord, who the Lord is, his heart toward them. And you know you're a child, you know the potential, you know you, the hardest thing is to watch your child and know what God can do and wants to do in that child, but they haven't allowed the Lord to do that. Still encourage that child when the Lord gives you an opportunity of what the Lord wants to do through their lives, that they would never think that there's a limitation or that they would ever lose hope that it's too late, but that they would know that the Lord wants to use their life. So what is the quality and quantity of our encouragement toward our friends? Proverbs 27:9 says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." What is the quality and quantity of our encouragement toward just sisters in Christ, toward one another? Is our mouth filled with words of encouragement that when we come into contact with a sister, we encourage her, "Press on. The Lord sees you are making a difference. You will be rewarded. The Lord shines through you. You are such a blessing. The Lord has the strength that you need." And lastly, what is the quality and quantity of our encouragement toward encouraging leaders in the body of Christ? Leaders need encouragement too. And we can easily remember to encourage those who are weak, but sometimes we forget to encourage those who are strong. And we see God's gifting so obvious in a leader's life that we can sometimes think that it's a natural thing. It's an easy thing for them. And we can minimize the tremendous sacrifice that they give to allow God to use them in that way. And no one is immune to the need of encouragement, especially leaders. Everyone needs encouragement. And we were given some insight in the Bible to the need that leaders have for encouragement. We see Elijah. He was used greatly by the Lord. The Lord used Elijah mightily to display his power in shaming Baal. And at the end of it, Elijah was in need of encouragement in the Lord. And we see Moses, just that faithful shepherd over a difficult group. And Aaron and Hur supported Moses' hands in order to defeat Amalek. And the apostle Paul, the Lord worked so greatly through him. I mean, you just look at what we have in the Word of God through the Spirit, through the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a firecracker. Did anyone think that he needed encouragement? I mean, look at what, how he encouraged others. But he did. And the Lord encouraged him through others. And he took note of it. And in several of the epistles at the end, Paul acknowledged those who were a comfort, who were an encouragement to him. And some names Paul mentioned were Luke and Justice and Mark, and he states how they were a comfort to him. He mentioned other names of whom he spoke refreshed his spirit. And Luke wrote in Acts 28:15 that there were brethren who traveled a great distance to support Paul. And he said, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. So the Lord just wants to remind us tonight of his blessed encouragement. Just what he gives us every single day. He speaks to us these words of encouragement. And he also wants to encourage us to continue to grow in that encouragement of others. And so tonight is just an individual thing. Where am I? How often do I encourage other people? When's the last time that I have spoken encouragement into someone's life? When's the last time that the Lord encouraged me with something and I was quick to just pass that encouragement along? And so maybe as we've been looking at this tonight, there might be a couple of people in your life that you think, I appreciate them so much and I have missed the opportunity to encourage them. Then we just do it in whatever form or way, either verbally or a written note. And I just want to encourage, we could do it however the Lord leads, but maybe three, just contacting three people this week and encouraging them and expressing the Lord's heart toward them and our heart toward them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And so it's that commending for the encouragement that you're giving, and then that encouragement to give more. And that's what we want. That's what I want tonight. So would you just stand with me and we're going to pray. Lord, we praise you for how great you are to us. Lord, thank you for your words of encouragement that you speak to our hearts, knowing exactly what we need to hear, exactly when we need to hear it. Lord, thank you for lifting us up, building us up, edifying us every single day. And Lord, we want to grow in this area of encouragement. So we just ask you to show us how we can grow and how we can encourage others and how we can bless others in this way. And so we pray that you would hide this in our heart and may it produce fruit in our lives as we just enjoy our relationship with you. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked Alyssa to just lead us in.